shall see the salvation of God. So to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes to rain righteousness on you.
Title for our teaching: You cannot make friends with your flesh. You cannot make friends with your flesh. And in many ways, the Holy Spirit, through our worshipping and praising Him, has really been setting the scene today for our teaching. We have to just learn, those who are redeemed, those who are a new creation in Christ, that most of our conflict is with the flesh. Because the flesh opposes the things of God, the Word of God, the ways of God. And that is where our conflict is. Now, a lot of church and Christendom is very aware of that. And because so often the cross is not central in the teaching today, they have to invent things to try and answer questions with regard to our wrestling and our warfare. And so they invent that we have these two natures. So it is your old nature and it is your new nature that is a conflict. Well, the reason that that invention is as it is, because the cross is not there, is not being taught. You don't have two natures, and thank God that you don't, because you would be a schizophrenic, spiritually speaking. You have one nature, which is made new in Christ Jesus. Because if you had two natures, the question then raises is, well, where do those natures land up when you die? One's got to go one place and another to another place. That is completely wrong. You have a new nature. What you are wrestling with is what is in the heart. And that is why we are being circumcised spiritually. And that is why the scriptures show us that you are saved. That is your faith in Christ. But being left in this world to overcome, you are also being saved. And so that is the warfare. That is the conflict. We are wrestling with our wills. And even Philippians says that he works in us both to will and do for his good pleasure. As we surrender the will, as we surrender our whole lives over to him, he begins to do that work. And we know what that work is spiritually. It is the potter with the clay. And he is moulding that clay. And he is with us producing those vessels of honour So we need to get away from this idea that we have another nature that wars in us, that fights against the will of God. It is not. And this is why we walk by faith and not by sight. And this is why we cannot reject the cross that we are also to take up daily and follow. As the cross wrought deliverance, raised Christ from the dead, glorified the new man, which he presented himself to the Father, who now sits at the right hand of God, he has now raised us up also in Christ Jesus. And that is our faith, that is our vision, that is our hope, and that is why the cross has to be central in the life of the believer, the life of teaching and preaching, the life in the church. And the more you keep your eyes on Calvary, the more you will see what was achieved and done through Christ for you and for me and everything. We still only see dimly what was achieved and done through the cross. This is why the early saints were able to turn the world upside down, because they experienced what Calvary had done. We now have reduced this through contemporary teaching today, that Jesus is just our friend. He's our lover. He makes us feel good, and so on. It is all reduced down to feelings and emotions. It isn't. What Christ done is the most profoundest thing in our lives. It is revolutionary. It changes you inside out, upside down. It is so powerful that it turns you completely around and presents a new life, a new walk, a new future, a new hope, a new expectation. Every part of you is affected by Calvary and what he did. You are not the same and cannot be the same. And to water that down is the greatest sin that the professing church commits. Because it's simply making church members. It is simply making men and women religious. And that's what it's not about. God is not religious. Amen. The devil is, and deceives many. So that is what we're talking about. You cannot make friends with your flesh, because the flesh opposes the things of the spirit. And that is why we are in a warfare. We know that we're in a warfare because we'll just look briefly at Scripture, what Scripture has to say with regard to man's flesh. Turn with me to Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 40. Isaiah 40 and verse 5. You know this well, but we'll read it. The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Sorry, I'm reading the wrong one. I'm reading, wait a minute. Yes, that was right. That was right. Sorry. Genesis 6 and verse 12. We're speaking about the flesh, man, how it holds him in bondage. Genesis 6 and verse 12. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. So all flesh had become corrupted in the eyes of God. And as a result of that, God sent the flood. And let's remind ourselves that Jesus said in Matthew 24 that the last days will be like the days of Noah, when again all flesh will become corrupt. And it is rapidly. For those of you who didn't hear Tuesday's teaching, do listen to it, because we went into what is happening in society. And as man's mind and heart is becoming reprobate, it simply means his flesh is becoming corrupt and in his mind. So he can no longer retain the glory of God. And eventually God gives man up. In other words, I'm done with you. And hands him over to his lusts and what he wants. But boy, will he pay a price. Because sin has to be judged. So all flesh had become corrupt in Genesis 6:12. What does it say in the Gospel of John? John chapter 6. John chapter 6 and verse 63. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. So again, Jesus said that the flesh profits nothing. It's the Spirit that gives life. No man will glorify in the flesh before God. And this is where churches, the Laodicean spirit of this age, deceive themselves, because they want to glorify God in flesh, in emotions, in unbelief, in a shallow commitment, and deceiving themselves. That's why God says you're neither hot nor cold, lukewarm. I'll spew you. In actual fact, it means I vomit you out of my mouth. Because they want flesh. Because the flesh means it doesn't cost you. But you can't worship God in flesh, only in spirit and in truth. And in to do that, you have to be that new man, that new woman in Christ Jesus. And so in our worship today, in our gathering today, and the saints who have come into the room, we are worshipping God in spirit and in truth. And so what comes up before God today, that sweet fragrance, he sees neither male nor female. He sees us all one, perfect, through his Son, glorifying his name. That is how we're to worship him now. That is what our meetings are all about. And that is an experience with God. Well, let's take this a step further then. That you cannot make friends with the flesh. That's what we're talking about today. Let's turn to Galatians 5. Because that has much to say with regard to the flesh. And the Apostle Paul, we know, wrote to the Galatian church because they started in the spirit and finished in the flesh. And they were trying to bring certain parts of the law in. And they wanted to introduce again circumcision, to circumcise. And of course the argument was, well, if the children of Israel under the law couldn't keep the law and were circumcised, why should you introduce that then to Gentiles when you couldn't even keep it? In other words, he's revealing the hypocrisy. You see, what we don't realise is that the new birth in Christ, fulfilling the demands of the law, has also relieved us from the hypocrisy that was attached to it. The scribes and the Pharisees were hypocrites. And that's why I said on Tuesday that that was one of the saddest statements that Jesus said in the New Testament, when he said, leave them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. In other words, what he's saying is, I've given up on them. I'm done with them. Because they will not to come. They want their hypocrisies. And this is what the Apostle Paul was trying to save the Galatian church from. And the Spirit today still works this with us, to keep us free from hypocrisies, because hypocrisy is the worst blindness, spiritual blindness, that can befall a professing believer. It is. It takes the mercy of God to be able to see. There go I by the grace of God.
Amen.
That is why it's so serious. Galatians 5 and verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. And that is the key. And to be led by the Spirit, you have to have the cross in your life as well. Because it's going to deal, it's going to oppose, it's going to put to death any of those things that wants to try and be led by the flesh. And you'll know when it is flesh, because always what is attached with flesh is pride and self-justification. And that's what gives it away, you see. And the way we can maintain that spiritual walk of the Spirit is to keep our knees humble 24/7 before God. Because as James tells us, it, and Peter, it gets the enemy off your back, who otherwise deceives you. And that's the key to it. We spent years on and off with that one. So the power of the Spirit to overcome is seen in verses 16 to 19. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which it is adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. So the first listing is the lusts of the flesh. And this is why I said on Tuesday, we live in the age of pornography. The enemy knows exactly what to tempt. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. And it goes on. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. Do they sound familiar? Do we not encounter all of that around us? Of course we do. Envy. Oh my goodness. We live in an age where so many are envious of each other. You've got something that I haven't got, and so on. Murders. Drunkenness. Murders is just, Jesus said, if you're angry, you hold hate in your heart, you're a murderer. That's what it is. Drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In other words, don't practice them. He didn't say you may fall victim to it. He said it's if you continue to feed it, practice it. That is what's wrong. Because otherwise, none of us stand a chance. Because we've all been guilty of that, haven't we?
Yes.
Even though we're a new creation, but the fruit of the Spirit, and there, and it goes on. We'll look at that later. So here it is. In the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and this is why we make so much of it, and this is why it is so important, God empowers the believer to walk in the Spirit, to mature into sonship. So that we can also, because maturing into sonship means we mature in the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and so on. It enables us to mature in those fruits of the Spirit. And there they are, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the passions and desires. So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So there we are. And that's why we can have a basis of fellowship. Because it is the fruit of the Spirit that is the means of us being able to fellowship together. And it means that I'm willing to allow the cross, the flesh, to crucify me for the sake of unity and oneness in the body. And those that don't want it will find sooner or later they're not happy, because self can't have its own way. We're not here today for selfish reasons. We're here today to worship God in spirit and in truth. We're here today because of Jesus, not because of me or what I want or what I can get out of it or what I want to parade before my brothers and sisters. That's not what it's about. That is not what the house of God is about. That is why we come to minister. That is why we come to give. And it is amazing how much we can give if we come with that right heart and spirit. God may just use you to say something to your brother and sister, just that word that they need to hear. I can't tell you the times how you have ministered to me over the years where I have needed just to hear something that helps me to be able to pastor, that passes on a word of wisdom or knowledge or whatever it is. I cannot tell you the times that God has ministered both sisters and brothers. That is why you have to be open before God, because God will work in ways past finding out. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit is so essential, because we are baptized with the presence and the victory and the power that Jesus achieved for us at Calvary. Here it is again, the cross. I now can overcome all of these things because the great overcomer now lives, resides in me. And that is why our cross that we take up daily is so vital to experience the victory that Jesus did for me. Because he knows you can't love. He knows you can't sacrifice like he did in yourself. It doesn't lie in us. But as we are empowered with his fruit in our lives, then there is always a fruit that is there in every trial and test that we face. We know sometimes that God brings along people that just basically rub us up the wrong way, that bring the worst out in us. And in our flesh, we try and avoid those people. We don't want them. We don't want them around. But what is there? What is in the fruit of the Spirit? Well, obviously love, That's got to be there, God's love. But it's more got to be needed. Sometimes endurance, to endure, or long-suffering with that person. And I could go on. And so we find that, you know, God brings us again in touch with this person or that situation. And what do we have to? We have to depend on the long suffering of God. When in our hearts we're saying, how long does this go on for? You know? Now you're all nodding your head because you know where I'm coming from. You're experiencing it yourself. And God knows exactly the right situations, the right people, the right circumstances to come along because they're tailor-made. They're all different, but all the end result is the same. So there's the fruit of the Spirit. And there's that cross that we take up daily that enables us to be able to walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Because the moment we start to minister to the flesh, the first thing that is in your life is a loss of peace. The presence of God is just not there. That peace is not there. And God is going to keep you in that state until you deal with it, till you come before him. And thank God that he does. These are the warning signs, you see. And that was what I was explaining on Tuesday, where in the world they are suppressing, they're going against their conscience, they're going against it all the time, suppressing it, pushing it down, because I am going to have my own way. I am going to do what I want. But he pays a price for it. That's the whole thing. That's society is failing to see that that is the mercy of God, that conscience that we have in us, that he is now violating, suppressing. And he does it at his own peril. But praise God, he has, through the new birth, worked that sensitivity of heart and spirit. And that he's working within us a godly fear to go against that. And he doesn't let us rest. And I'm glad he doesn't. I really am glad. Because that makes me do something. That makes me get it right before him. And to get it right is a gift. He's enabled me to be able to repent. He's given me the ability, the power, the grace and mercy to repent. Because I've seen some people that can't repent. It's not there. Yes. And it's scary. It's very scary. So we thank God for this. Amen. That we can walk and maintain that walk in the Spirit. And so you see, when we become impatient, or we doubt, or when our mind is overwhelmed with fear, depression, questioning, oh, I've gone through it, don't worry. I know exactly what it's like. You just don't have that peace. You know, you start to become suspicious. You start to question. You start to doubt and everything. And in the end, you can't handle this anymore. It becomes a burden that's so heavy. You've got to come before God and get your heart and mind back at peace and in his presence. Until you yield to the Spirit. And then the fruit of the Spirit is there. And it takes its place. Because that's what it's supposed to do. When you yield over to the Lord, when you repent, when you're sorry, then the fruit of the Spirit takes over. It takes its place in your life. So that you can walk in the Spirit. And you can meet these trials and these tests. So that when those tests come and you just say to yourself, I don't like this in the natural. This is awful, but I know there is fruit or fruits of the Spirit that can deal with this. Praise God for that. This is what makes this walk supernatural. because the fruit of the Spirit is Jesus in your life. Jesus in your life is embracing the unlovable because he loves them and he died for them. Christ in your life is interceding and praying and supplicating through you for that soul to be saved. Because you wouldn't bother, I wouldn't bother. Sometimes I'm so grieved with myself that I can be so trivial, so light-handed with regard to the souls of people. That, well, I'm all right, I've made it in. And how, you know, I want to take on that burden. I want to confess that soul before God because nobody else may. And somebody confess me before the Lord. I want that burden. I want to do that. And whatever it costs, whether it costs me time or whatever it is, so be it. The thought of a soul going into a Christless eternity, you can't put it into words. The eternal torment forever. I can't comprehend that. It just sends shivers down my spine. But if I can save a soul through the supplications of Christ supplicating through me to confess that soul before his heavenly Father, then it's worth it. Because that's what this is about. And the cross in my life enables me to be able to do that because it gets me out of the way. That's what it does. And so when we go through these trials, we have the fruit of the Spirit there that takes over. Every temptation to sin, there is an opposite fruit of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will produce this if we want it in our lives. It's if you want it. That's the key. You see, if we've been lied or we've been gossiped about or we've been mistreated or rejected, and we're going to meet all of this because Jesus did, then love, the fruit is there. The fruit is to get over it. The fruit is there to recover from it. The fruit of the Spirit stops the heart from being wounded. And rejection is probably the biggest one. I'm not saying that's easy. But our Lord was rejected. But when we give that over to God, that protects your heart from being broken, from wounded. Because the fruit of the Spirit is there. Because those who become resentful, those who say an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, and I've heard Christians say that one, and they recite scripture. Well, they don't realise that's Old Testament. Do you still want to be under that curse? You see? Because Peter raised that question, didn't he? Well, how many times do you forgive? What did the Lord say to him? 70 times, 70. In other words, just keep at it, keep forgiving them. No matter how many times. Because the fruit of the Spirit is there, you see.
Thank you, Lord.
The opposite is there. And that's why Satan's out to rob us, if you let him. And when he is there and he starts to work that unforgiveness in your heart, I'll tell you what it starts doing. It starts to spiritually disempower you. It weakens you. That's what sin does. That's why I mentioned about Samson on Tuesday. Because that is what sin did to him. He lost his strength. And that is what it does to us. And we maintain that strength, that power. And this is why our fellowship, our gathering together, and these meetings are all so important. Because this enables us to be empowered, to overcome the spirit of this age. I don't know how saints who call themselves Christians can overcome if they don't want to put their ears to the word of God. Because the enemy's going to rob you of that sword that is in your hand, which is the word of God, which we wield with. And we have to. And sometimes God says to you, what's that in your hand? As he said to Moses. Oh yes, it's the word. He's empowered us for this, to overcome. And so that empowerment must have the fruit of the Spirit to balance it. Otherwise, these weapons that we have, we can destroy. I bring it to your attention. Years back, God gave me a vision as clear as if you sit in your seat. And he showed me a little child, a toddler, and a machete put in that child's hands. And he said, that is what you do with my spirit, the gifts of the spirit, the warfare. That's what happens if you do not have the fruit of the Spirit in your life. You would never know how to use it properly. And that is why, sadly, in warfare, it's so ineffectual in so much of Christendom. Because they don't know how to use it properly. They use it wrong, with the wrong motive, the wrong attitude. Bring down fire on our enemies and burn them up. And what did Jesus say to his disciples? You don't know what spirit you are of. Why am I making so much of that? Because God honours faith. Does. Just the mustard seed of faith. He'll answer it. And so you need to have the fruit of the Spirit in your life, the love of God in your life. Because who are we? Who is our enemy? It isn't your next door neighbour. It isn't your boss at work. It isn't a member of the family. It is the devil. And he is the one who is going to be brought down. The devil is Jesus's enemy. Not the people he's deceiving. It is him. And that is where you have to go to every time. And this is why we are in a spiritual warfare. You go direct to the powers of darkness, who simply control these people. You were controlled once like that. But you now see. They're victims. They're like pawns on a chessboard, manipulated, moved around. But you're not. You warfare from a completely different position now. You're with Christ seated in heavenly places. And the enemy is now our footstool as well as Christ's. Again, I come back to the cross. That gives us the revelation and understanding of all of this, you see. And that is why we avoid arguments, we avoid strife, we avoid tensions or whatever it is, because we have the fruit of meekness. If they're bickering and arguing, walk away. Jesus never got involved. He loved man, but he didn't trust him. And we have to be the same. And even your closest, your loved ones, you love them, but you don't trust them. Because love is so powerful. And love knows what to do. Love isn't going to pick an argument, a fight, or whatever it is. We are not of that nature, of that spirit. And you walk away, or you keep your mouth shut. And the Holy Spirit will give you the words if you are to speak. We don't have to justify ourselves. You do not have to justify your actions. And if they bring you before a court of law, and we may well be, you do not have to justify. Doesn't matter what your solicitor or lawyer, if they give you one, and oh, they'll tell you what to say, and manipulating, scheming, and whatever it is. God said, I will give you the words in that hour. And when you open your mouth, he says, I will fill it. And of course, the greatest example of that is our Lord, when brought before his trial. He went like a sheep to the shearer, sheep to the slaughter. Said nothing. The only thing he stood firm on was his deity when they asked him who he was. And that signed his death warrant, because he said, I am that I am. In other words, what he was saying, the verb to be, I am God. I'm God. The flesh must be ruled by the spirit, because the flesh isn't evil. But it can become the instrument of sin and evil. The flesh isn't evil. Your flesh, my flesh isn't evil, because we're told to glorify God even with our bodies. But it can be the instrument of which evil can be manifested. That is the point. So same with our emotions. Emotions are God-given. But the fruit of the Spirit tempers the emotions, balances the emotions. There's nothing wrong at times to feel emotional in God's presence. I do sometimes. I well up sometimes. I cry in his presence because I'm just so overwhelmed. It's the way I am. Others express themselves in different ways, but I'm not going to become a point where I'm just completely and totally out of control. That's not how the Holy Spirit works. In the occult it works that way, because demons take people over. There's a difference. Holy Spirit never does that. Well, as we bring this to a conclusion, let's sum up with a few things then. Romans 7, verse 25. Book of Romans. Romans 7 and verse 25. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So the Apostle Paul was very aware of this conflict, but it was not a conflict of two natures. It was the heart. Jesus said it's not what goes into the man that defiles him, it's what comes out. And so that is what he's doing. That is what he's changing. He's changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. And that's why he keeps us still in this world, for that very purpose. Because that is developing also our character. So the character, the soul of the person, which is the character, each of us is unique. There is no one else ever that has been created and made or will be that compares with your character, your personality. That is miraculous. And we can't count how many humans have lived and died. And I mean, nobody can put a figure to that. But that side of you is unique. And it is that God is perfecting. Your character, your personality. We know that. I know my character, personality is being perfected. I am infinitely praise God, I can say that confidence, and I know you can say the rest, better than I was 20 years ago, 30 years ago. I have developed in that area. That's the sonship. That is you. That is always going to be you throughout eternity. And you will have a new body, a glorified body, of which the personality, the soul, will enter into. And the spirit, of course, is the life of God in us. So that in glory, you will be known. We will know one another. We will know our loved ones that have gone on. We will know them by their personality. That is why I say again, when Jesus rose from the dead, they didn't recognize him at first until their eyes were open. They realized, this is the Lord, he's risen. But how did they know he was the Lord? They knew his personality, his character, the soul. That's how they knew. And that's how he will be known throughout eternity. And we will know him. We know what he's like. We know what he's about because we have received the fruit of the Spirit. That's the living side of God. This is what makes our Christian life and walk real against all other religions. They can't experience the soul, the personality of God through the fruit of the Spirit. That love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness and everything, which he's perfecting in us.
Praise you, Lord.
They don't know that. They don't experience that. They just experience law, bondage. And you can't grow in that. That is why we grow as sons and daughters of God by the Spirit through the Christian walk. No other, I'm going to call it religion in that sense, has that. And that is what the Apostle Paul was saying here. The flesh seeks to serve sin. You cannot change the appetites of the flesh. But we have to allow the Holy Spirit to control those appetites. You can't control those appetites. But the Holy Spirit, through the baptism of the Spirit, can and does. And that's what makes this so wonderful, so glorious. Because verse 24, he says, O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from the body of death? Who can do this? Well, the indwelling Holy Spirit, the new birth, the power of the Spirit, he can and he does because he has overcome. And as he has overcome, so you overcome as well. And he overcame through the crucifixion, the cross. Don't try and make friends with the flesh. It never works. The life in you will change all of that. And it's your choice. And that is why we cannot force people into that. We can only present the truth. It is there for you to take up and follow the Lord. That's why Jesus said, take up your cross also and follow me. And I will make you disciples of men. Father, we thank you today for encouraging us. Thank you for your word. It gives us life. Hope. It causes us to look away and to look to you, Father, because you placed your life, your power, your spirit, your all in us, Lord. How can we fail? It's only because of our selfish will that we fail when we want our own way. Lord, forgive us that we can still be in conflict at times with you, Father. We're fed up with it. We want to grow up and mature and to be those sons and daughters that we're destined to be. You have a remnant that's destined for the throne and pushing in by the power of the Spirit for this. And Lord, we thank you for this. We thank you for our gathering.
Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey. Judgments of the Lord.